Thank you very much, Charlotte. If we've not met, my name is David, and I'm on the team here at Hailsham Parish Church. I do keep a Bible in hand. We read part of our reading, and I'm going to take us through the whole thing. Let's take a moment to pray. Dear Father, please help us to listen to you as you reveal yourself to us through your word. Amen. If you were a film director and you were going to make the Book of Exodus into a film, what kind of a film would you make? It would have to be probably an epic film. Big panoramic shots over the Nile and the pyramids. And it's no surprise that that is what has happened. So 1956, the Ten Commandments. 1998, The Prince of Egypt. And more recently, Ridley Scott's Exodus, Gods and Kings. Although it has to be said that the main source for these films, the material that they used, was actually a novel written by someone called Dorothy, rather than the Bible itself. But here we are on one of the most famous, exciting, and scary parts of the story, the 10 plagues on Egypt. So, what's this story all about? Exodus chapter 7, verse 4 shows us. Have a look with me, Exodus 7, verse 4. I will lay my hand on Egypt, and with mighty acts of judgment, I will bring out my divisions, my people, the Israelites. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it. It's all about the mighty power of God in judgment and salvation, in judging Egypt and rescuing God's people out of Egypt. And so the purpose of these plagues, as we read them in Scripture, is that we will see that no one matches the mighty God in power. The mighty power of God. And so this is a challenge for us. Is my view of God too domesticated, too cozy, too much like us, and not like the true and living God who works in history to rescue his people? And as we think about this story, I want us to use one principle which will bridge our world and the world of the Old Testament, and that is this: God doesn't change. God doesn't change. Everything we see about what God is like and who he is true today. God doesn't change. That will be our one principle as we move forwards. So let's jump into the story. Have a look at chapter 7, verse 10. Moses and Aaron are before Pharaoh again. And just as God said, Aaron throws down his staff, and behold, it becomes a snake. And Pharaoh looks around, and the magicians have a go, and they somehow manage to do something similar. And Pharaoh's heart hardens, and he doesn't listen. Back to square one. So God sends Moses back to Pharaoh. Moses tells Pharaoh to let my people go. And he tells them that the first plague is coming, Pharaoh. The Nile will turn into blood. The fish will die and people won't be able to drink the water. The Nile, the lifeline of the nation. Even today, if you look at one of those nighttime satellite photos of the world, you can easily pick out Egypt because all the light follows the River Nile. That's where all the activity is. And God has turned that lifeline into blood. Surely Pharaoh will now let the people go. But the magicians do something similar, and Pharaoh's heart becomes hard, and he leaves Moses and Aaron standing there and goes back into the palace. So God sends Moses and Aaron back to Pharaoh. God is sending another plague, frogs. Now, I wonder, how many frogs do you think would it take in your house to make you jump out of your skin? Maybe one? Have a look at chapter 8, verse 3. 8, verse 3. The Nile will teem with frogs. They will come up into your palace and your bedroom and onto your bed, into the houses of your officials and on your people and even into your ovens. And Pharaoh goes, okay, fine. I'll let you go. Just get rid of all these frogs. So Moses goes to God and prays. Just like that, the frogs die. But then something happens. Have a look at verse 15 of chapter 8. Pharaoh changes his mind. He hardens his heart. Has it all gone wrong? Now God is going to do something very different. Have a look at verse 16. A plague, but with no warning this time. Aaron strikes the ground, and all the dust, and there's a lot of dust in the desert of Egypt, becomes gnats. And these tiny creatures are everywhere. And this time, the magicians can't do it. They can't replicate the miracle, the mighty power of God. And the magicians go to Pharaoh. They realize that there is no one like the Lord. They say to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. Surely now Pharaoh will repent before more calamity hits his nation. But no, his heart was hard. He didn't listen. So three plagues in Egypt, the ancient equivalent of America, the superpower of its day, the place where people migrated to for a better life, brought to its knees just in a few days as it comes up against the awesome power of God. It's worth taking a moment to pause here. I don't know if you're thinking this. We might feel uneasy about this judgment. I think it's shown quite well in the recent Ridley Scott film, where Pharaoh asks Moses after the plagues, is this your God? Who would worship such a God? I don't know if you sympathize with that idea. But there's a problem with this Hollywood view of things. In our Western world, the reality is that we are often all too ignorant of the great evil in our world as we sip our lattes and nod approvingly to articles about prisons with beaches. I find it very helpful the words of the Croatian theology professor, Miroslav Volf. He witnessed the brutality in Yugoslavia in the 1990s when the country was breaking up. And he had this to say. Is it not a bit too arrogant to presume that our contemporary sensibilities about what is compatible with God's love are so much healthier than the people of God throughout the whole history of Judaism and Christianity? If God were not angry at injustice and deception and did not make the final end to violence, God would not be worthy of our worship. God does not let evil and violence go on. Last week, we saw that violence. We saw the brutality of Pharaoh as he forced the Israelites to make bricks, but he took away the straw that they needed, and then he beat them because they couldn't make the bricks because he took away the straw. God won't stand for it. So the challenge for us is, are we open to changing our minds about God and his greatness? Or are we worshipping another God, a soft God, in our image, maybe even latte in hand? Exodus, it's all about what God is like. I hope over this series we'll be able to say, where have we changed our minds about God? It would be so easy to drift through and not change our mind about anything about God. But that would be a great mistake. It might be even that we're making the very same mistake that Pharaoh made, balking at the God revealed in Scripture. God judges, not my God. And so we harden our hearts as God reveals himself to us. Our next plague shows something very different. This plague is not uniformly spread across the country. Have a look. The plague of flies. Pharaoh's palace is full of flies everywhere. Total, God is in this land. But then God says something very surprising. Chapter 8, verse 23, have a look with me. God says, I will make a distinction between my people and your people. What this is saying is that this plague would only happen on the Egyptians, but not the Israelites. Why is that? Why is that? If we read the book of Exodus, the Israelites are not a brilliant lot. They're quite useless. They grumble a lot. They reject God. Why do they escape the judgment? We'll have to keep reading on in the story to find that out, as we will soon see the Passover, where God deals with judgment. But back to the story. Pharaoh says, okay, you can sacrifice here to your God. Moses says, no, we want to sacrifice away from here, not in Egypt. Pharaoh says, okay, fine, you can go. So next day, Moses prays, and bang, the flies are gone. There is not a single fly left. So the people, oh no, Pharaoh hardens his heart, and he doesn't let the people go. So the next plague comes, and it hits Egypt hard. Have a look at chapter 9, verse 6. All the livestock of Egypt died. That would be crippling in that day. And again, God makes that distinction. Not one of the Israelite livestock die. Pharaoh's investigators even go and confirm it. The mighty power of God. Over the years, a number of people have suggested natural explanations for the plagues, maybe suggesting that one plague led to another and it's a sort of snowball effect. But as we're reading, I hope you can see that the biblical writer is hammering home, see the miraculous and mighty power of God. The plagues, they're laser guided in where they land and what they are. They're predicted in advance. They happen not over years, but days. And the very moment Aaron's staff hit the ground, that was when the dust turned into gnats. And when Moses prayed, that was the moment the flies went, and there wasn't even a single fly left. So let's not get distracted by natural explanations and other details in the passage. And there's all sorts of things in the passage that can lead us astray. And instead, see the miraculous power of God. See, what is this showing me about God, rather than speculating on what the passage, on what the things that the passage doesn't say. We worship a miraculous God. And these plagues, more than punishing Egypt, God is fighting for his people. He's showing his power as he judges and saves. The sheer lengths that God will go to save his people from evil. As we read the Bible, we see that the Exodus is the prototype for God's bigger rescue. A rescue where anyone who trusts in Jesus will be rescued from judgment come on the world, rescued through the Son and for a new creation. That is what Exodus is, the prototype, as we read through the Bible and see the greater rescue that is coming. So that means that there is great comfort for us from these verses. Brothers, sisters, if you're feeling right now like the Israelites, there is great comfort. If you're feeling, I don't know, opposition for following Jesus, wondering whether it's worth it, maybe if someone has sinned against you recently and you're aware of that, we don't have to turn, swipe back by force, because God will deal with the powers against him and his people. The scoffers against God will have to come to account. He will save us. But even these mighty works won't budge Pharaoh. Moses returns to Pharaoh, and with soot in his hand, he throws it up in the air. Boils. Boils on the skin of the people and the animals. The magicians have a go, but they can't even get close. It's all the boils, the mighty power of God. But Pharaoh hardens his heart. You've probably seen the pattern right now, this heart hardening. What's it all about? Well, we can see that Pharaoh, that both God hardens Pharaoh's heart, as in 9 verse 12, and also Pharaoh hardens his own heart. So here we have, it's not, as we read about God hardening Pharaoh's heart, it's not this sort of fate that we try and escape and we can't get away from. That's not what it's about at all. It's about God being in control of Pharaoh's decisions, but also Pharaoh is responsible for his decisions too. Divine sovereignty, human responsibility. How do they fit together? We don't know. They're like, someone said, they're like two pillars and they rise up into heaven. We don't know where they meet. Well, they meet in heaven. We don't know how they fit together. God does. Divine sovereignty, human responsibility. And it's true then, God doesn't change. It's true today. If we harden our hearts, God might just harden our hearts too. We like to think, when we hear God's word, that there are three options. We like to think maybe we could believe it, or we could ignore it, or we could reject it. But actually, there's only two. We either believe it, or we harden our hearts. Which one are you? We're either going towards God, or we're going away from God. Which one are we on now? God is merciful. He gives us the chance to turn to him. Don't harden your heart, the book of Hebrews says. As God's words confront us to repent of attitudes about God and actions that we know deep down are wrong, the time to act is now. It could be too late. Our next plague gives us a reason why it was God's plan all along to harden Pharaoh's heart. Moses takes God's message to Pharaoh, "Let my people go, or hail will come." The worst hailstorm ever. And then, God's words that Moses gives to Pharaoh are astounding. Have a look at chapter 9, verse 15, because they really unlock why these plagues were happening. Chapter 9, verse 15. "By now, I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with a plague that would have wiped you across the whole earth. But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth." God could have wiped Egypt out, just like that. But instead, he gives 10 plagues, 10 visible opportunities, 10 visible manifestations of God's mighty power as opportunities to repent as we see them. That's why we have 10 plagues. God's mighty power displayed to show that no one is more powerful than the God who judges and saves. Who is the true God? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And paradoxically, this hardening was actually giving everyone in Egypt, including Pharaoh, an opportunity to repent. And in verse 20, we see some people doing that as they fear the Lord. And the hailstorm comes, this hailstorm completely unprecedented in the nation's history. And then Pharaoh does something that he's never done before. Have a look at verse 27. "This time I have sinned. You can go." Maybe if we were Moses right now, we'd think, hooray! Good news for everyone. But Moses looks this superpower leader in the eye and says, "I know that you and your officials do not fear the Lord." Moses walks outside. He spreads up his hands. And the hail and the thunder, they just stop, just like that. The mighty power of God. But Pharaoh hardens his heart. God is merciful. He gives Pharaoh the chance to repent, powerful works. But as we see, Pharaoh hardened his heart and made judgment both inevitable and inexcusable. And so, as we see the mighty power of God, do we want to take chances with this awesome God? Maybe you've been at church a long time, but not really sure where you are with God. Maybe you just feel, well, I'm not sure where I am. I just feel like I'm muddling along. Perhaps one foot with Jesus, one foot in the world. So I'm not really sure where I am. Do we want to take chances with this awesome God? One person who really understood these truths about judgment was the American preacher Jonathan Edwards. And he was greatly used in the 18th century by God to bring thousands of people to God. And he said this, talking about the mighty power of God. If God should let you go, you would immediately sink and swiftly descend and plunge into this bottomless gulf. And your healthy constitution, your own care and prudence, and best contrivance, and all your righteousness would have no more influence to uphold you and keep you out of hell than a spider's web would have to stop a falling rock. Therefore, let everyone that is out of Christ now awake and flee from the wrath to come. Friends, please do not rest until you are right with God. Jesus offers confidence about final judgment if we trust him. We must run to him. Pharaoh kept hardening his heart, and God hardened his heart. The next plague came, locusts. They devoured the plants. It had never happened to Egypt before. Pharaoh appeared to repent and then repented of his repenting. Then darkness came on the land. The mighty power of God. Pharaoh, this time it's a bit different, isn't it? Verse 28, the day you will see me, your face will die. Moses and Aaron leave. We'll have to find out next week what happens. But for now, for us living today, we've seen the mighty power of God as he judges and as he saves. It's not vindictive, but righteous judgment. God is great because he judges. And he gives us a chance to return to him. It should humble us to fear the Lord. Do I fear this God? Or am I too chummy? Or maybe am I just too, neither hot nor cold? We've been conscious of death over these last few months, but there is something worse than death. Rejecting the God who gave us everything. No one can endure the mighty power of God. If we live our lives hardening our hearts, God will judge. If we dismiss God in our lives, God will judge. And even if we're great activists, we bring great change in our community and yet harden ourselves against God, God will judge. I remember when I first encountered these truths for myself, I realized that I faced judgment, and the fact that I considered myself a nice guy and I went to church and I was involved, it didn't cover the fact that I needed to turn to Christ. These truths, they drove me to the gospel. So let's pray that we will do that. Loving Father, we have seen your mighty power. Please help us to not be like Pharaoh, who hardened his heart. Please help us to turn to you. Help us to see your greatness because of your power. Help us to worship you as we know that you are powerful and that you can defeat all evil, and you will do. Father God, please help us to know you better. Help us to worship you more. Amen.